Pickaxe.
Hey y'all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Oh, you wanted the drop, but you couldn't have it. Oh. Welcome to Hat Chat.
Close.
Littered with disappointments. Episode 60, the big 6-0.
The big 6-0.
Wow.
We did it.
Welcome. I am Chris Trott.
Oh, you're Chris Trott. I'm Ross Hornby.
Yeah.
And I'm Alex Smith, and that music was by Jed Allen. Thank you very much for that lovely finger. It really took us on a journey there. There's only so many ways you can really dress up the same melody. It's amazing to hear how sort of wild people can get
pop
with it.
Charts, Alex.
And I'll point out,
you don't have to use that melody. You can honestly freestyle, do what you want.
You could do welcome to the Hat Chat Show. Here's three guys that you just shouldn't trust. Like that could work.
Yeah. That could work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. There's a lyrics for you. But yeah, thanks, Jed Allen. Honestly, that was just a snippet of the whole song. So stay tuned for the end for that.
Yes.
It's great.
Thank you, Jed.
If you didn't know, we're doing these weekly now, so you're getting even more Hat Chats. So tune in every Friday. Make sure you subscribe on your relevant podcasting app and or YouTube and or Patreon.
Wow.
Where they get it ad-free. That's right. We're injecting ads now into the podcast format. So if you don't like that, then there is the Patreon, .com/hatfilms. Thank you in advance for that. And they have chosen.
Man.
They have chosen. I gave them three hypothetical questions, which is how we kick off our Hat Chats now. They have made their choices as to what they prefer. We have number one and number two here lined up.
Okay.
So without further ado, I am not going to beat around the bush here. We've got some interesting ones this week. So Alex Smith, Alan by trade, please let us know.
Alan by trade.
Okay. The next question submitted to us by our Patreons is, what kind of movie or TV show would you make if money/skill wasn't an option or an object? Sorry. God damn
it. Money wasn't an option. That's a big difference.
Question. I messed up. What kind of movie or TV show would you make if money and skill wasn't an object? So, you know, there's no limitations, I suppose.
It wasn't a barrier.
I don't know really, because I've never really thought about anything we've ever come up with that's always been fairly low budget in my mind anyway. So to think bigger than that, you're thinking what, like Marvel level
it's
budgets?
I feel like limitation creates creativity, right? Because you work with that budget and that constraint. It's like, how can we make that the best thing possible? And obviously those creative workarounds can spur on more thoughts.
Yeah,
but be given complete access to anything, budget be damned. I don't know.
I always wanted to make something like Goodfellas, you know, but like maybe we could go even more like bombastic with it, with a bigger budget. Obviously, it had a pretty reasonable budget at the time, but
That was
a gangster
a,
film,
really,
of some kind. But
gangster, gangs of London, or would it be American still?
Well, that was I don't know. I mean, probably London, yeah, because I mean, when you look at things like Snatch and Lockstock, like there's a certain style to them that's really quite cool. But obviously, again, I think what you said before, whereas like that had a lower budget, and that was, if anything, what made it kind of, there's a charm to it, right?
Yeah.
God, that's a really difficult question, I think.
I mean, Trott says, limitations do often define what makes something special.
Yeah.
However, I mean, I have two answers to this. I'd make a non-fiction TV show, and I'd make a fiction TV show. The fiction TV show would be like crazy high budget, high fantasy. So, you know, I'm talking like sweeping landscape shots using helicopters and people on horses, you know, full Lord of the Rings kind
I'd steal the Stormlight Archive franchise and make a huge budget TV show.
And just make a TV show like
you're thinking.
Yeah. So like high magic, like lots of effects, lots of sets, lots of crew, everything. Yeah.
Like no CGI, so it all has to be made.
Yeah, that would be even better.
That would be the best part. So, because obviously, like when.
Like Lord of the Rings Fellowship style.
Exactly. So, where everything's real, and that's where obviously the cost goes, you know, crazy when you start making real sets for things.
Like but back like, in like the 19.
Everything has to be made. Yeah.
Like early 20th century stuff, like is it Ben-Hur and things like that, when they had like thousands of people on set and that was how they did it. Yeah.
Huge
that,
crowds, real crowds.
Yeah.
Real like soldiers and stuff. Like, well, not real soldiers, but real actors doing being soldiers. Mm. That's where most of the money normally goes, right? So if you could, you know, unlimited budget, that's where I would put it, really. Yeah, like I am thinking Lord of the Rings already. So.
Yeah. And for nonfiction, we take three teams of amateurs in Space Race. And basically, three teams of amateurs have like a scrap heap challenge-style TV show.
That'd be so good.
Where they can mix and match old and disused rocketry from over the years. So there's like Russia and the US, all of their old shit. So you've got like the goddamn space shuttle strapped onto an old like Sputnik-style rocket. Or you know, not Sputnik, but you know, one of the Russian rockets. And just see who can get to space and back safely.
Yeah.
We've got the budget to take the Discovery out of the museum and back in the scrapyard.
Exactly. They've converted this SR-6, SR spy plane into a space plane. And you're like, whoa. This guy just knows how to weld.
And then we can have like all the experts come in because we can afford them. Like, guys from NASA, we just take those guys' time up to be like, oh, this is how you can actually correct it and make it functional. And off we go.
Yeah.
Let's do the... Oh, man, the shots of, like, the takeoffs would be insane.
Yeah, you'd just be like, well, let's see if these guys die.
So it'd be literally a TV show which would get humanity to space, maybe to Mars. What? Imagine if that was the TV show that did it, that, like, instead of, like, the Elon Musks and the Jeff Bezoses, like, doing their whole, like... dick length measuring contest of getting to space first. What if a TV show was like X Factor is like the best astronaut, first one to Mars?
Yeah.
That would be pretty
happened
cool.
Happened to be a welder from Stafford.
So he had what it takes.
Huh?
Is it kind of reality TV as well at the same time?
It could be. I mean, it'd have to be because you'd be fascinated by the lives of the people. Like, it's a bit like, you know, Guy Martin. Who has gone on to be stuff, like a documentarian, but was originally a superbike like racer and truck repairman, I think, as well. Like, I think he serviced like 18 wheelers and things. And it's just funny to see a guy like that go on to have all these crazy experiences. And it's kind of interesting because of who he is and because of his like background. It's just, I mean, first of all, he's got balls of steel, which is probably the underlying point about all of it. It's just if you're willing
to go the distance,
if you're willing to travel 220 mile an hour down an Isle of Man road, like a country road, you're probably up for most other things. But like, I love stuff like that. The human side of the crazy stories.
Plus, it'd be more than just like, you know, not to dismiss the X Factor or anything like that and people's talents, but like, astronauts, like following astronauts' lives and then taking that flight would be so cool.
What about the other way, where there's a documentary series of digging to the core of the Earth?
Oh yeah, and then that'd be cool.
You follow that journey, so it is a journey to the center of the Earth.
Nice,
but a documentary version and for real with the crazy budget, and it might take a long time.
What is in there?
But well, that's it.
Yeah,
let's get to the bottom of it. Literally.
Do you remember the film?
Let's get to the bottom.
The film
of
where
it.
They just find like. At a certain depth, there's just another world. Like, have you ever seen the film where they get down there and it's just dinosaurs? So Journey to the Center of the Earth is a film, a classic again. And they get down under those like first big layers and they're just like, oh, it's just a dinosaur world down here. And it's just like completely inexplicable.
That wasn't a documentary that much.
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay.
We've got it's Team Eurotunnel, so it's like the French English coalition team down there. We've got like all these other like subway architects and things like that who are all trying desperately to get to the center of the Earth. Who will crack its gooey core?
Let's get to the bottom of it.
Well, you've seen there's been loads of remakes of Godzilla and whatever. What if
so many remakes of Godzilla? Can we just talk about that for a moment? I tried to find the most recent Godzilla film. And like it's an absolute minefield of shit films and good films. Like, this is the thing. There's a couple that are good and there are a couple that are terrible, and you're like, hard to tell the difference. Anyway, go on.
But what if we remade another one, because there's so many anyway, but this time use one of those, we'll make a fresh city that can be entirely destroyed.
Oh, wow.
And it needs to be a living, thriving city.
And then how long do people have to have lived there
Giant animatronic Godzilla will crush and stomp through the city and destroy it.
This sounds like an idea that Jeff might actually get in on. Like Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you told him he was the pilot of the mech, hey, Jeff, imagine literally stomping on a city of real people. He'd be like,
yeah,
got my cowboy hat on, I'm ready to go.
Real, you say?
No.
This kind of gives me, I'm sure it's riffed off the same thing, but this anime called Neon Genesis Evangelion, right? They have this whole city, which is super futuristic, constantly getting attacked by these crazy alien things. There's like huge mech suits which fight them, but the city itself, sirens go off everywhere, and then the skyscrapers and stuff actually retract into the ground, and
that's
like shield coverings go over the top.
That's pretty
it's
cool.
Like Stingray.
That's we should make that city.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I like
now,
that.
It hasn't budget. Mentioned time, it just mentioned money, so I guess, yeah, you could just spunk a load of cash at it and just get enough people involved. I mean, that's how they built those cities in the first place, right? In China, which are just abandoned and just laying waste.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But no, that's what I pictured.
So, I like it. I think we've done the whole breadth. We've done documentary. We've done a space race. We've done Journey to the Center of the Earth. Yeah. We've done a high fantasy TV show. Yeah. We've got gangsters.
Yeah.
London, I think we covered a wide spectrum.
I mean, again, if anything, looking at the rest is quite tame.
It's pithy.
It is. It really is.
Well, it was the first idea. So, you know, it's like, it's brave. You're brave to be the first idea. Obviously, it was dwarfed almost immediately by much better ideas, but it was a good first step.
How much money did I spend? Oh, no.
What if it was like the all-star gangsters TV show? You've got the Yakuza. You've got the Mafia.
Every guy.
When Ross first said this, that's exactly what I thought. I was like, how about this like global empire? So basically the show is about how the networks of different criminal infrastructures interact with each other, right? To form a global market. Mm. Because that exists. Like you will at some point have a Russian gangster having a piece of something that like a Bristol dealer and an American businessman had a piece of as well, you know, like so you could spin around the globe a bit, like how Game of Thrones examines how the different houses and cultures exist around
you
them. So
the gangster, you could have like, gangster empires,
House London, and it's like, you know, that's the London mobsters and the House of Russia, and it's like that. And
break your kneecaps,
exactly. It could be really cool.
Would you star in your own feature?
I'd be all the main characters,
You'd be in there at least as a cameo, like Peter Jackson.
I love what Peter Jackson did. I think it's a really good way
just
of doing it.
A hidden orc.
I think anything else, just instantly, if you know the director is immersion breaking, and it's fuck's sakes for putting yourself in that.
or rather in an unbelievable role, because he's visible in The Hobbit, I think. He sat down or something eating a carrot.
In the pub, is it?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, well, he's in a suit.
And it suits, exactly. He doesn't look out of place. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's... So you need to know who the director is to notice that, I think, which is... You know, and I think people who bother to know who the director is are probably like, oh, yeah, I mean, he's done a lot for Lord of the Rings. Like, it's nice to see him have a little piece of it. Like, why not be involved?
Immortalized on screen.
But I don't think I'd go for a main role. You'd be so vastly intimidated by the talent of, like, real actors.
Yeah.
Alex Smith plays Kaladin Stormblast. Yeah.
And I've got, like the best actors of a generation because they've got unlimited budget. And I'm like, yes, let us go, brothers.
But you have the unlimited budget, so you could just deepfake your face and another actor could just do it. And you go, I want to change this actor. I'm going to deepfake myself.
So we de-aged Ian McKellen.
Can you see him to look like me?
Yeah. So that's where the budget's going.
I want Ian McKellen's voice.
My God. This director's asking for so much. Why is he putting his face on all the main characters? Including all like the female people.
Start
the
to
male,
go.
Power everybody.
Your every role? Weird.
So that answers that question, I think, quite succinctly.
Yeah, yeah.
We covered everything. So shall we move on to a second hypothetical that was chosen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. If you could choose what the next crazy fake health trend was, what health trend would you create? Is this? This is the next question. It's difficult.
What diet pills are currently like a crazy...
Yeah. So something fake.
Are they fake? I don't know.
So it's got to be fake, yeah. So
I saw one that was funny that someone was doing. It's almost like crazy theories, right? Or mantras and stuff, or rituals that people make up at home. It's like guaranteed to align your chakras and stuff. Yeah. There was a woman, I can't remember when this happened, but was pointing a butthole to the sun.
Oh.
And it's like the sun's energy goes straight to the source through the ass.
Like a solar panel. It's nature's solar
tanning one? Because I remember nature's ages ago, solar panel. I think we did a story which was, we read a story about people tanning their buttholes. I don't know if that's linked.
Yeah.
Maybe it's...
I think it was the same thing.
Yeah, where they
you gained energy from it.
Putting their buttholes to the sky.
It's stuff writes itself, honestly. We don't need to pluck from fiction when people like that are creating fake health trends. What about sensory enhancements? So you get a couple of cones for your nose to amplify your nose.
Scent expanders or something, yeah.
Truly smell, next level smelling, next gen. Next gen senses.
Like in just sense enhancement, but it's all just cones. So like for your ears as well. So you put cones in your ears, cones in your nose, and then cones around your eyes.
I can see and hear and smell it. Like all my senses have been enhanced.
Enhancer cones. Oh.
What about enhancer cones?
And then one big cone around your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is enhanced.
Just to amplify everything.
What about
your ass as well for the farts?
Yeah,
I imagine there's probably something that already exists for like extending your legs so you're taller, like some sort of machine that kind of just pumps them so they just feel longer or something. I mean, that's probably that is genuinely probably a thing. Let's be honest. Like,
I imagine
people probably
want to
be taller anyway, rather than just
you've got
stick
lifts.
On heels.
Lifts happen a lot in Hollywood with people that have short man syndrome.
Like Tom Cruise,
Tom Cruise, and Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
being two of the culprits. What about with the sensory thing, sensory redirection, where it's like smell your taste,
right?
Hear your smell. You just got tubes going from one to the other, and it has technology in it where you could smell what you hear or taste what you smell. Well, actually, no, that's those ones.
Those go hand in hand.
See what you taste. I don't know.
See your taste. Sounds like a Pepsi Advil or some shit.
Yeah.
Or a medical condition.
Yeah. It does, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm seeing my taste, Doc. What do I do?
Maybe not so much
take these
a
diet
fake health
pills
trend.
I found online. What?
Fight milk. Fight milk's a good health trend.
What kind of doctor are you?
Fight milk, yeah. Fight milk. Well, that's the thing, yeah. I guess, yeah. I mean, that is the trend more often is dieting and or, well, not fight milk. Fight milk isn't about dieting. It's about getting buff and ready to fight. Even though it was a crow's...
Yeah.
Crow's milk in that?
Yeah,
what
crow's
they
milk. The only
crow's milk
nutritional supplement with crow's milk and alcohol.
Yeah, from Always Sunny, yeah.
They're like, man, this makes us purge like crazy. We love fight milk. We use it before we need to get in, like, take weight. You know, there's the guys, the gym guys.
Yeah,
that
they're
are
just
like,
shivering and they're like, sweating.
Nothing gets it out of us like fight milk, man.
What about, you know, Limitless has, like, basically a pill that just makes you overall enhanced.
Yeah.
Is there anything like that which you could fake, maybe? Maybe like a, I don't know, maybe not a sugar pill, but...
So, I mean, well...
It has to be fake, right?
I was literally about to say, you say sugar pill. I think that would be the exact way to do it because the placebo effect is a real thing. It's like it has like 50% effectiveness. Like it the body, if it believes it's under the influence of something, the human body acts differently. There is a sort of placebo slash prejudice effect. Yeah. So in a way you could say this will get you at the top of your game. I mean obviously there's probably advertising standards involved here, but you could say like this will make you feel more focused. And you could give people a sugar pill, and arguably, they may feel slightly more focused because they believe that they should.
True.
So, I mean...
Be interesting.
What if we take this...
Sorry. I will say the 50% stat, don't check me on that. But there is definitely a measured placebo effect that has an effect, basically, is what I'm saying.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
And therefore, I believe it. I think I saw it on Facebook. Anyway, what if we took that to the next level and... had it as like the belief pill. So what if you're notoriously bad at accepting that this pill is going to do anything for you and you don't receive the placebo effect? Instead, this is the pill that makes you believe that you are, you know, truly feeling the effects. So it's like a placebo meta pill.
Double down on the placebo.
Yeah, and it's still just sugar, but it's marketed in such a way that it's this will make you accept a placebo in your body and therefore make your body do what it needs to do, but it is ultimately just sugar.
I mean, that is in part faith, isn't it?
Do you think if it wasn't a pill and it was an injection, you'd believe it more?
I mean, there's actually loads of really interesting studies into this. Psychology, essentially. To do with perceptions and preconceived notions about different medicines and their effects on things. You know, the fact that we much more regularly take pills at home because of painkillers and things like that would probably suggest, yes, pills would make people more comfortable. However, because we associate...
more serious, doesn't it?
Well, that's what I was going to say. However, we associate injections probably with more serious things, more bigger deals. So we would probably associate a greater effectiveness. But this is all just presumption, but I'm basing this on probably common notions. But this is just psychology, essentially.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense, apart from the anti-vaxxers who don't believe in it. But
of course, yeah.
There's no help.
The second one's a suppository. The suppository is if you want really major effects from the sugar pill. How effective, do you want the sugar pill to be? Because we can do a single course, a double course, very popular at the moment, or you want to go big, go for the suppository for maximum effect.
Ultra placebo effect, guaranteed. 20% extra effective placebo. Nice. Well, I think we've covered... some good ones here. I hope Patreon is happy.
Quite a difficult question.
It is.
Because you've got to think of a fake health trend in the first place.
True.
But then
capitalize on it.
But there are loads. You've got to watch out, guys. There are loads out there that are just trash.
You've got to be careful.
Most of them on Instagram,
much like
this
big ad break that's coming up in a moment. Listen to this product, and we'll be back afterwards, unless you're ad-free, in which case you won't hear a single thing.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories. All building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you around the table.
See, I told you.
That was
the guys that were ad-free.
Didn't even notice.
There was nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's move on.
Yep.
Shall we do another hypothetical, or would you like to move on to... funny news / I heard about something this week kind of stuff?
What's the other hypothetical? I don't know, actually, because I found three stories, not many, really. Mm-hmm. I'll start with a story, and then maybe we can go to hypothetical after or something. Mm-hmm. But
sure.
So this story is interesting because it just sounds completely just batshit insane. So Dubai is coping with its 125 degree heat by using laser beam shooting drones to shock rainwater out of clouds.
Cool.
Okay.
Now, that sounds impressive.
Weather tech.
And I don't know if it's actually legitimately working. Let's see. So this works like a cattle prod for clouds, forcing small water droplets together to create big ones. Apparently, Dubai gets 4 inches of rainfall per year and soar temperatures up to 125 degrees. I think that must be Fahrenheit. Is that Fahrenheit?
It's gotta be.
It can't be.
Yeah, it's gonna be Fahrenheit.
It's going to be. That's gonna kill people.
Yeah. So the National Center of Meteorology in Dubai has found a new way to make it rain.
That's 51 Celsius, guys.
51 Celsius. Jesus, that's hot.
that is hot.
Struggled in like 30. What was it? 31.
Yeah.
It was the other week.
Yeah.
And that was tough. 50. Oh no, thank you.
So we're looking at an Instagram video from the official UAE weather claiming that all this rain came from
laser.
The effects
that's
of
amazing.
What they did with the laser.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, in Dubai, that's a lot of rainfall.
It is a lot. There's a lot of rain going down right there. It's that's plentiful rain. Jesus. So it shoots laser beams into the clouds, charging them with electricity. The charge prompts precipitation by forcing water droplets together to create bigger raindrops, and then essentially electrifying the air to create rain.
That's
insane. That just sounds so like futuristic.
It does. And then you look at like other elements of tech and you're like, what? Well, I mean, I guess it is just the application of an existing technology in a way that we've sort of... I mean, it makes sense. I would say that it's probably not good to start messing around with weather systems like this because...
Maybe there's a knock-on effect.
The thing is that rain will now not fall somewhere else. So, like, you remember in geography in secondary school when we learned about the rain cycle and how it's drawn up, like clouds form over bodies of water through evaporation.
Everything.
And then, what you're describing there, essentially they're increasing the density of the water molecules in the air, which make it fall, as in physically, it can't stay up in the air any longer because it's, I guess it's got too much mass, and it drops. But that means that that cloud that was going somewhere else has now been prematurely... drained essentially over there, which could be good. I mean, if it is just going to go and evaporate over a desert somewhere, you're like, yeah, fair enough. I mean, the it might be that weather is part of a system that just sort of evaporates, but I mean, you are taking out everything in nature is a system and a cycle, and if you take something out of somewhere, it means it's not going to be somewhere else along the line. So
that's pretty nuts, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's quite a lot of synthetic things in Dubai in the sense that obviously they built their own little islands as well off the coast. And now forcing rain. That's impressive. Surely that can solve, like, droughts in certain areas. That's like
create them in other places, though. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, if we were, like, really perfect at this, if we understand exactly how the system works and where that weather was going, then great. But most of the time, we don't. We've tried to use ecological solutions in the past that we think would work. And sometimes they do, but sometimes they're fucking disastrous. Like, you know, introducing species to manage other species and things like that is just usually an absolute nightmare. Wait.
There's a runaway effect.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
So something else to destroy this thing.
Yeah. It would be nicer if they could really cool down Antarctica to stop melting. Yeah. That would be an interesting use of that tech.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how it would create a barrier or something like that.
I mean, imagine flooding a whole country that you're trying to invade and destroying their ability to make food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well,
this article states critics of the drone technology worry that it could be unintentionally causing a massive flooding. Basically, and they're also worried it's going to be privatized, which it probably will be, let's be honest.
I imagine the energy required to fire these lasers as well is probably a hell of a huge amount, maybe generating some heat as well. I don't know.
I think it's indicative of the fact that our technology is starting to run away from us before our culture has caught up with it, because there's not enough, clearly not enough individual responsibility that the average person feels in order to be responsible with this technology, because like that, you know, we all need to be very, 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 very careful. And you just, with the kind of people we've been getting in power recently, you just doubt that they are being careful. You doubt they are doing it for any other reason apart from money, which is scary, because when the planet's gone, money isn't going to fucking matter. It's just going to be who dies last is essentially what it will become. And it's just kind of a bit like, fuck, you know. But hopefully our culture's catching up with it. You know, it will come up through young people. It will come up through generations beneath us, hopefully. I hope it's soon enough. But we definitely need to start taking more responsibility for our individual, like, you know, existence and accepting these technologies and accepting these things are happening and understanding the implications of them. I think that's the biggest thing. I think a lot of people don't really... always understand the full scope of like when these technology, how these technologies could be applied and like the effects they could have.
You'd like to hope that
they don't care about the global effect. They just care about the local Dubai.
It's individualism, which is essentially the latest nightmare to hit us.
It's like, I imagine that a lot of reconciliation is, well, they should develop their own weather technologies to fix their problems. If they have problems from this weather that we've just created here.
But the weather is connected globally. It's a global problem. Yeah. It's a global thing. So it cannot be treated as a state-based entity. The weather is everyone's, or rather everyone's responsibility.
It's like the privatization of, the export to commercial companies for NASA doing the space race and then putting out contracts to all these companies to do the next Artemis mission to the moon. It's like, it has sped up the space industry a hell of a lot because the government isn't paying out what it used to in like the golden age of NASA. However, it does increase that kind of billionaire villain creating their own agenda space race. So it's a little worrying, but I see where that goes. Hey, it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
I think, I think The Simpsons predicted it somewhere. All of that stuff. I've got another story here. I've got two stories that involve masturbation, which, of course...
Brilliant.
It's hilarious.
It's always funny.
So this headline is, men should ejaculate at least 21 times a month, study says, suggests.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you believe? So...
that's a lot.
Let me see here. So researchers at Harvard University found that men who ejaculate at least 21 times a month could see their chances of getting prostate cancer slashed by a third. So
wow.
So there's plenty of people listening to this now thinking, "God, I've got to pump up my numbers." Or they're like, "Wow,
I'm so safe. Back a bit. Maybe I can get an extra safe, third." Yeah. Does that mean if I double this, do I get two thirds off my chance?
What if I'm on 42? Yeah. What if I'm doing 42?
How does that data gathering work?
Well,
do they do like a pool of people that don't?
I don't know. I think
masturbate as much.
Is this 21 times a week? Because that
21 times a month.
I was going to say
not a week.
30 times a day. Wow.
This is. So I got to get my breakfast, lunch, and dinner jack off sessions in.
It's healthy. It's going to help me later in life. Come on, give me a break. BRB.
Prostate cancer is a big deal. Come on.
My entire lifestyle is planned around this because it slashes my prostate cancer risk.
I'm sorry, guys. I can't stay in this afternoon meeting. I've got to go check on.
I've got to just look. You should be too. I'm
worried about all of you. Let's go for a group one.
We should all have a group session right now.
It's for the greater good. But it says the study, which was published in European Urology in 2016, involved 31,925 men who filled out three questionnaires about...
That's a big fucking sample size, man. That is a good sample size.
And it was ejaculation frequency between 92 and 2010. So quite a long period of time. How do you remember that, though, in monthly? Like your numbers? Do you ever scratch it on the wall?
Well, you could have that. You could read the report and see their methodology.
Yeah.
If you really care, or is it more of just a conversation prompt?
I care more about like the direct correlation they're drawing up when there's so many variables. Mm. I assume that it's like we've put this data of people that didn't masturbate as much, and this many people got prostate cancer.
Yeah.
Where it could be coincidental. You know, how are they tying it directly to masturbation? You know, they could have been living in an area
about.
Bear in mind that, like, if this is a proper scientific study, they would have had a section on biases, and they would have factored biases into their data as well. So, like, it's a fair question, but if this is a proper study, then hopefully they would have accounted for that, so you can trust what they're saying. You can review it as a peer of theirs, if you like, and you go in and you come in your white jacket and you've got like a folder and things look very officious as you slide into the room, and around you are other very sort of knowledgeable looking people, and you're like, right, who have I got a watch jack off?
Can I do the demonstration as to how it's done?
Hold on, look, like,
here's the breakfast one.
The breakfast one's different.
Here's the breakfast.
Have you warm up to it?
I have oatmeal. I'm hungry. Is anyone? You need to pregame for this.
It's like protein.
Yeah.
Before the big workout.
Yeah, I gotta get ready. You'd be in great shape. Excuse me. I need to clear my.
You would.
But that's. I mean,
you'd be lopsided, but unless you mixed it up.
Yeah.
It does say here, 1 in 8 men will get prostate cancer. So maybe that's. I mean, it's all correlated. So just remember, that's 21 times, guys. 21 times.
How many? 1 in 8.
Yeah, 1 in 8.
Oh, man. That sucks.
I think it's also just lack of getting checked as well.
Yeah, probably.
Because prostate cancer is relatively treatable, right? Yeah. If it's caught early, like most things like that, of that kind, that is curable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's that embarrassment of going to the doctors and getting literally just checked.
A little finger at the bottom. But it's worth it to know whether you're going to, you know, have an illness or not. Because I think, the alternative is just not worth thinking about. You know?
Yeah,
I do have another story that relates to this.
A bonus,
yeah.
But Brucey bonus.
Yeah, Small price to pay. Small price to pay. This one is also themed with masturbation, of course. Right-handed man almost masturbates to death. Medical case study. So this is kind of the antithesis of the previous article.
Don't go too far. Everything in moderation.
Yeah. It says this fellow redefined mind-blowing sex after he suffered a life-threatening stroke while repeatedly masturbating. Now, medical experts are saying he's lucky he escaped the ultimate unhappy ending. The unnamed 51-year-old right-handed man. I don't know why they keep saying right-handed man. They really need to point that out.
Not a right-hander.
Japan, admittedly enjoyed pleasuring himself several times a day, according to the new case study. However, one explosive self-love session went awry when, after climaxing, the serial stroker was struck down by thunderclap headaches and severe vomiting.
Oh, God, thunderclap headaches suck.
So he was rushed to hospital and found to have low blood pressure. How many times did he do a day? I swear that was in this article. There's like some scans and stuff you can see as well.
Several times a day.
Yeah, several times, says. Yeah. So he said, yeah, prior case studies have reported that sex, including the autoerotic variety, was the immediate preceding activity before a ruptured aneurysm in up to 14% of patients.
Oh my God.
That feels quite
That's
high.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. So
they're autoerotic
saying,
is going to
cause
saying
14% of aneurysms are caused during sex.
Yes, due to sexual activity. And they specifically mentioned autoerotic variety because that's probably more dangerous.
Choking and stroking.
The risk of death by sex-induced stroke can be compounded by taking cocaine or Viagra before the act. So,
oh, shit.
There you go, some info there.
Wow.
Do you think both the people... And do you think that that's a common thing? When you get to the age where you're feeling the want for Viagra, which is perfectly acceptable, no judgment with the whole Viagra thing, but do you think you're also like if you're feeling the need to... If you're having enough sex and need Viagra at a certain age, you're also going to be like, I should probably do some cocaine as well. Just to like, because you've got the hard on and now you're like, right, I need that like energy.
I need the energy.
So do you think that's just like, that is like the standard? They're like, oh, we'll see. Is it Viagra and Coke?
Maybe.
Yeah. Viagra, Coke is brain wet pop. Oh, classic.
Typical.
Another one.
It's got to have a name or something, right?
Like, well, the dude was jacking off. He wasn't even with anyone at the time. That's
a Jack and Coke?
More sad. So, I mean, like, how energetic do you think he was being with himself? Like, come on.
Yeah.
I imagine it's, you know, a little bit of a sad existence, right? When you feel the need to do that so often.
Yeah.
We've all been teenagers. I think we know how that would feel.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake, what's wrong with me? I'm so tired.
Cut these damn hands off.
But yeah.
There you go. So that's...
Well, hopefully that's enough of a scare to, you know, ease him off a bit. Just breakfast, lunch, and dinner, mate. You don't need to do any more than that.
Yeah, 21 a month, not a day. Be sensible. That's the advice right there.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Damn. Yeah. Thank you for that. Much appreciated. I do love a couple of jacking off stories just to mix in there.
There you go. That's what I'm good for.
Any other final bits that you want to throw in?
I don't think so. Do you want to save that one? You read the last one.
I just saw the title for it. So going from all these things about jacking and pumping, the final one is an unlikely children's entertainer is the title.
Yeah, the pictures are weird as well.
Library apologizes for hosting rainbow dildo butt monkey to entertain children. What on earth is this
rainbow
about?
Dildo butt monkey. Is that the name? All that seems such a long-winded name.
There he is.
Oh my God, he's got nipples.
Oh my God.
Okay, so if you watch that live, that's disgusting.
Rainbow dildo.
Not a children's entertainer, but
why were they hired?
A London library is apologising for bringing in a rainbow dildo butt monkey to entertain children. Redbridge Libraries hosted Mandiga Arts Group at Redbridge Library's Summer Reading Challenge event Saturday. God, these are long sentences. Yeah. In East London, where video footage posted on social media shows a number of performers outside the event, according to the Evening Standard. One of the performers was dressed in a rainbow monkey costume, exposing fake buttocks and a fake penis. A London library... oh my God, there's another... It's not immediately clear who the performer was.
No. Well, they were in a crazy outfit. Jeez.
Oh, my God.
But they did apologize for any offense caused. That's good.
Sorry.
That's not a kid's entertainment.
We're
that's
not ready for that
nightmare
yet.
Fuel. I mean, I know clowns are, like, quite common, but they're nightmare fuel as well. But this, that's another level.
Oh, our prudish culture isn't ready for the rainbow dildo butt monkey.
No.
The library said, unfortunately, one of the animal costumes was inappropriate, which we were not aware of at the time of booking. We deeply apologise for any offence caused.
Oh, so
I'll
sorry.
Scroll down. There's pictures of him, like, stood outside a Lidl with his butt out.
Oh, yeah.
His little fake butt just Hold in on. Front of a Lidl. Oh, my God, that is horrifying. The dildo is unnecessary, isn't it? That's just not on.
There's a strawberry person there as well.
So weird.
How are they not arrested? Or at least cautioned? Like, take the dildo off and the rest
it
is fine.
Makes no sense.
What makes that
what
okay?
What the hell?
What would make that okay? Just taking the dildo off, you think?
Just a fake butt on the back. It's funny.
So there you go. That's another weird story. Brilliant. I found.
Well, I like it. Yeah. I think that was a great way to round off. And, you know, hopefully for anyone that actually saw it, it's torture and maybe put you off masturbating several times a day.
Mm. Or it might encourage
ease
you.
Up.
Might be a good one of your 21 a month.
If you need a few more.
A week.
There you go.
A week.
I want to give a huge thanks before we end to Jed Allen for sending in awesome fingle. Don't forget, just after this, you're going to hear the full version. If you are musically inclined and can make stuff, please send it to hatchat@hat-films.com. Mm-hmm. Like Ross says, it doesn't need to be the theme of the Hat Chat. You can make it whatever you want. As long as you've got like a short little thing that I can take out of it for the intro, all good.
Yeah.
And hey, patrons, I hope you enjoyed that ad-free experience. Mm. If you too want an ad-free experience, go to our Patreon, where Ross uploads the ad-free version. Yep. And also, you get to involve yourself in the polls as well. We kind of want to try and give something back to you guys a little bit, get you involved. So I give out a poll every week of like three hypotheticals, and you guys vote for the ones that are definitely going to be in the next one. So do that for episode 61, if you could.
Indeed.
Much appreciated.
Thank you.
And that is about it that we have today. Again, we'll be back next week on Friday with more hijinks and hypotheticals. Mm. So we hope you've enjoyed this episode today. Any final words?
Rainbow dildo butt monkey
is coming to your party.
Yeah, maybe we should get three outfits and do some children's shows.
Make the most inappropriate child entertainer you can.
Yeah, I'm down for that. All right, let's get cracking on that.
Just a gimp suit covered in stick-on dildos. Yeah. Oh, wow. Look at me. I'm one of those, like...
Hellraiser those dildos.
Interactive. Yeah. Come on, kids, brush your hand. Oh, he's going to run past you now. Oh, my God. Man.
Put a blindfold on, and you've got to chase him around a room.
Oh, no.
That's all it is. There's nothing else. That's it. That's the game, all right?
It's just blindfold, chase the dildo man, the porcupine. Right. On that note, have a great week, and we'll see you next Friday.
Indeed.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.